The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We've been chatting to different people over the last couple of weeks, people who found themselves in the headlines for good or for ill over the year. And my next guest certainly in them for good, much like Sophie Becker and Phil Healy, the 400 metre runners we spoke to the week before last, because Fintan McCarthy won a gold medal in rowing in Paris. Fintan, you're very, very welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
No, listen, it's great to talk to you. So what's going on at the moment with you in terms of kind of training or downtime? What's Christmas like?
I think it's probably going to be a pretty chilled one this year. Like, usually we're kind of in full training, preparing for whatever's coming up the next summer. But because the World Champs are going to be a bit further out next year, I think it can be the first Christmas in a while we can sort of chill out a bit and put the feet up and not worry too much about getting the hours in.
So if we rewind back to maybe just before Paris, how confident were you guys going into those games about your own vein of form?
I think we knew we had a good training camp before and it was going pretty well, but we kind of didn't really know where in the field we were kind of going to end up, because we'd race a few weeks before, kind of maybe a month and a half before the games in Switzerland, where Italy and Switzerland actually beat us. So we kind of knew that we had a good camp and that we'd come on, but it's always a question of how well everyone else has come on since we last met them as well.
And when you say come off a race like that where the Swiss and the Italians beat you, and you're speaking to somebody who has never rowed, so I don't know the sport really. I'm like one of those kind of Olympic rowing experts every 4 years. What are the things that you take away from that you can work on, that you realised for us to kind of finish ahead of them now in several weeks' time, here's what we need to do?
Well, I had a good bit of kind of injury and sickness before, so we knew going into the race we weren't going to be in top form for that race we had before the game. So it was kind of a bit of damage control, I guess, and seeing how well we could do without, you know, stellar preparation. And then from there, it was kind of just about making a plan of where I'm going to gain the fitness back and where we can improve in our rowing. But I think we actually had some really good races there. It kind of put us in a position where we had to make sure we were getting the best out of what we could in terms of like the technique and getting out whatever fitness was there at the time. So it did, I think it actually did stand to us quite well coming into the games, but it was just a case of kind of knuckling down after that and trying to put right the wrongs, I guess, that I had sort of, kind of made a few mistakes in being healthy and in training and that kind of stuff. So
how much of it then when you get to the races is psychological, or does that just depend on the athlete themselves?
Yeah, I think it depends on person to person. Like, it's a funny one in rowing as well, because you can't really do anything to affect your competitors. I think
that's the thing that I often wonder watching it, because again, I'm coming from a place of complete ignorance, is to what extent in a race are you racing somebody? Are you kind of conscious of, you know, where the Italians or the Swiss or the US team or the Brits or anyone else is out on the water? Or have you just got your own game plan that you've got to execute and that's all you're focused on?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. And that's the way that we found works for us. I think you're always aware of what's going on around you and where people are. But for us, I think we found the best way to get the most out of ourselves. And that's all you kind of need to do in a rowing race, because, you know, like I said, you can't cut across the lane and bump into someone, or you can't tackle someone, you know. So it's a bit like you really have to be internally focused and in your own lane and getting the best out of your boat and your performance, I guess.
In that sense, then, are the kind of the outcome slightly more predictable than they might be, say, because athletics would be something I'd have kind of an all-round interest in, if we put it that way. And, you know, the kind of your Diamond League meet is completely different from a big championship meet where you don't have pacers and, you know, there's kind of the tactics are completely different. And it adds to a bit of unpredictability how the athletes will interact with each other. Where you don't have that interaction, is it more predictable? Does it mean you can go into it with the confidence to say, you know, we execute this and we execute it the way we know we can and everything going right, there's no one who can beat us?
I think so. Like, there's a bit of, I think that unpredictability comes from not knowing what other people have done in between races. I think it is a sport where you can make up a lot of ground by fixing kind of small things, whether that's in technique or in fitness. So the unpredictability usually comes from other people. And also, you know, you never know whether it's going to be a longer race or whether it's going to be wavy. And some people handle the waves a bit better than others. And so you kind of have a certain level of knowing where you are in terms of fitness and that sort of thing. But on the day, I think it's anyone's game. Like at the start of the race, you can't really count anyone out because you don't know. And you know you might be going well, but other people could be going better than you. So it's all about kind of just focusing on your own thing, I guess, like we were saying earlier.
And listen, people would have seen you guys, yourself and Paul, afterwards and after Tokyo as well, and Ergy interviewed and television, the radio and what have you. And you guys, you know, you seem to take all of this in your stride. Are there moments, or have there been moments since Paris, though, even private moments, where you kind of, the weight, but the scale of the achievement kind of suddenly becomes apparent to you?
I think it happens in like fleeting moments where you might recognize it in someone else and think, wow, that's actually really amazing what they've done, and then measure it up against your own achievements, and it's a bit it's not a shock, but it kind of does bring a lot of pride and satisfaction as well, because we've worked so hard towards it for the last however many years. So, but you know, it's not something I think that you'd be sitting around thinking about all day. And a lot of the time as well, looking back on it, I think I remember winning the medal and I remember crossing the line and being like really happy. But I also remember just as well, you know, times in training where we were hanging out with our friends or meeting someone for a chat, or just random moments like that, spending time with family that kind of bring just as much, I guess, happiness and a bit of satisfaction as well, in terms of just life. So I think it does put it into perspective that way as well. So I think it's kind of well-rounded. Like, there's a lot of pride and you know, all those good things, but recognizing as well that it's just another part of life, really, and it's what we sort of chose to do. And thank God it's kind of making us happy and giving us all these opportunities as well.
If you never rode again, you know, is it those moments you would miss, the crossing the line and being on the podium and the national anthem and all that, or is it those other moments you describe? Is it, you know, the camaraderie, the kind of the friendships forged by those kind of miserable days down in kind of driving rain in Cork, whatever it happens to be?
I think the thing about it is it's both, but they're both sort of equal, you know, when you're past it.
Well, listen, we wish you well into the future, Fintan, and we really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us. And we look forward to, we look forward to kind of the build up, but I've already outed myself as one of these armchair rowing experts every 4 years. So I look forward to kind of suddenly deciding where you're going to finish when I turn on the telly and watch you in LA, hopefully in 4 years' time.
That's fair enough. You know, you can always catch up with us in the World Championships in between if you want.
Yeah, listen.
Keep an eye on things.
See, that's the thing. You guys, I mean, you're always competing, you know, and like competing since Paris as well. Again, like kind of the ignoramuses like myself out there kind of think he'd kind of disappear. This is a continual thing.
Yeah, yeah. And our Olympic qualification is usually nearly a year before the games at the World Championships, or else the qualification in the year of the Olympics. So, you know, we're always kind of tipping away at something, and there's Europeans and Worlds sort of every year. So, yeah, we're always kind of on the go.
Well, listen, you made everyone very proud, Fintan, and thanks a million for speaking to us.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Fintan McCarthy, double Olympic gold medalist.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.